I'm glad you're here today. My name is Barry. Welcome to Bridgewater. I want to say happy Mother's Day to those who are here in the auditorium as well as those who are watching online. We're so glad that you've joined us today. Mother's Day is kind of, for most people, a day of excitement and celebration. I know for some moms, it's the only day of the year they can get all their kids to go to one church at the same time in the same service in the same section, and they coerce their kids to come. For others, like if you're a good family, you don't make your mom cook today. But even if you're really nice, you take them out to one of those Mother's Day buffets, right? Like you can eat all you want. Moms enjoy that a lot. And they get this pleasure as they're eating all they want. They look at all these plates piling up and they're saying to themselves, I don't have to clean that up. And again, moms, they have issues as well. And so as they see their kids spilling stuff on the floor and on the table, really, in their mind, they have this carnal spirit that basically says, not my house, not my problem. And so, welcome. But we do want to acknowledge the fact of this, and we don't want to, like, for those who are celebrating, having a great day, we also want to acknowledge that we know that there are people who are here today listening online. We have people that don't come on Mother's Day because Mother's Day is a difficult day for a number of people. And the reason it's difficult, because if you had a mom that you loved and you enjoyed spending time with them and you lost them this last year or recently, it's hard. It really is hard because you wish if you could do anything, you wish you could just spend like another day with them and just talk to them and just celebrate Mother's Day with them. And so I know it's hard. There's other people here that you've lost a child and you're just reminded of that loss on Mother's Day. And so if you're online or here, I want you to know that I get it. We've been through that, and so I hurt for you, and I want you to know that we understand that today can be hard for you. There's other people who just would love to have kids, and being able to conceive a child has been very difficult for them, and they're just reminded of their situation, and it's hard to go through that. And there's other families, the one I probably hear the most about are people who grew up in a really hard family, a dysfunctional family, and they looked at their family, it was really messy. And really, they come to a day like this, and they say, there's really not a lot to celebrate today. And so if you're here today, I'm just glad you're here. We want this to be an encouragement. Hopefully, you continue to laugh, and you look at how you can have influence over kids. I want you to know that this sermon's a little different than normal. If you're here for the first time, I want you to know this is kind of a weird sermon. We're in our Buck God series, and we have the Buck God logo up there. Yay. But this isn't going to be a Buck God sermon. And it's really going to be a Mother's Day sermon, but don't tell the other campuses, because I told them you're going to do a Buck God series, but I'm not going to. Don't tell your campus that I'm doing this. But what we're talking about is parenting. And one of the favorite memories that I have of my mom is after Kim and I got married, we were moving out to Ohio. So we finished school up, got married really fast, and we loaded up and went to Ohio like bam, bam, bam. We were gone. So we only got away for a couple days after the wedding. And we came back, rented a U-Haul, loaded stuff up, tried to steal as much stuff from my mom's house as possible. And we loaded up. We had all these presents from the wedding and other things. And so we were loading up the U-Haul, and then we went down to the metropolis of Bechtelsville, Pennsylvania, if you've ever heard of that. That's where my wife lived. And we went down to her house and stole as much stuff from her parents as we could, all the wedding presents, loaded up the U-Haul, and then went off to our first ministry. So my mom was a manager at IBM. And so the morning we left from here, grew up in Vestal, the morning we left, she had already gone off to work, and so we were loading up the truck, and I remember going through the kitchen, and so I washed my hands, and I took the towel like I usually did, and I just threw it on the counter. Now, my mom's somewhat anal, and she's not in this service. At 11 o'clock, she'll be an angel in the 11 o'clock service, but really, she had some real issues, I'm telling you, for those who are 9:30. So she was real anal, and she had there's a place for everything in our house, right? And if it wasn't in its place, like, we got beat. Like, seriously, like, you put it where it belongs. And so I threw it on the counter, and I started walking out the door, and I went, you know what? I should make my mom happy this time. So I was going to go take the towel, and I was going to go put it where it belonged. And I looked at it, and I said, oh, no, I'm going to write her a note. And so she's gone, so I write her a note, and I don't remember exactly what it said, but it was basically this, hey, here, I left this here for your, like, your amusement, and I want you to know that you don't have to worry about this anymore because I won't be here. And I did it as a joke. She came home from work, and mom's like, I'm sure you got this. She looked at the note, and she just started bawling when she got home. Because I'm the youngest, which is obvious, but I'm the youngest, and the way I behave. And anyway, so, but for her, it was just a reality that they're gone. My kids are all gone. And so I appreciate that. And one of the things that we notice is that for those who are my age, your kids grow up really fast. It's like in a blink of an eye, your kids are gone. And sometimes when you get in the midst of everything that's going on, working with kids, training them, doing something, before you know it, they're just gone. They go from the stage of being in a crib to someday having a family and having a career, and hopefully they moved out, right? Like, I'm hoping at that point when they have their kids, they're actually not at the house anymore. And so one of the things that we want to encourage you is to enjoy every phase of parenting. I know for us, we never thought the diaper age was going to end, right? Because we had four kids really quick, and we couldn't figure that out, but we had like four kids in like 4.5 years. And anyways. So we just never thought the diaper age was going to end. And then they became teenagers. And you wish you could go back to diapers, right? Because you knew where they were and they didn't talk back. And so what we're going to do is we're going through the different phases of parenting today. And what we're doing is we're stealing our information from the organization we get our curriculum from for both children's ministry and student ministry. And we're going to change it up a little bit. We're going to use some different terms. We're basically stealing some of the information. But what we want to do is encourage everybody, whether you're a mom, whether you're a dad, grandparents, even if you're a neighbor, an aunt, an uncle, I think we have kids that are around us that we can have influence on. And one of our goals is this. If God has put a child in front of us, a student in front of us, what we want to do is help them reach their full potential in life and in Christ. That's our goal. So you say, well, I'm not a mom. It doesn't matter. If you have influence in a community, if you have influence in your neighborhood, whether you go to you're involved in a school system, what we want to do as a church, and I hope what you want to do, is help children reach their full potential both in Christ and in life. So from newborns to going off to elementary school to kids learning how to drive to kids going to college or kids going into a career, it's all a phase. So you go to the kids, the kids today, the baby shark, right? Thank you. I'm with you guys, like baby sharks, right? You know what I'm talking about? You don't want me to sing it because you're going to be doing it. Okay, so I'm going to do it. Grandpa shark, shark, shark. Okay, stop. So the kids go through like that phase of baby shark, and they go into like a Taylor Swift, Jonas Brother kind of, phase. Imagine Dragons, and they go through all these different phases. And then, even if your kids are listening to Britney Spears, I want you to know they're going to grow out of it, okay? They really are. You can be encouraged. You're going to grow out of it. Now, I hope they grow out of it, because if you're a 40-year-old guy listening to Britney Spears, it's a little creepy. That's all I have to say. It's super creepy. I'm just saying. And so hopefully they go through that. But as you go through this, one of the things I want to do is encourage you, as you go through the different phases with your children, it's important that we take them from the type of cradle to creepers to riding a cross-country bike to driving a car. What we want to do is have influence in their life. We want to do some training. And one of the verses we're going to look at is in Proverbs, and it says this. Start children off on the way they should go, and even when they are old, they will not turn from it. I love that verse. Start children off on the way they should go, and even when they are old, they will not turn from it. Every phase we go through, we're trying to support them. Sometimes we're even establishing boundaries to protect them. And we're also going through a situation where we're trying to share information to help them go from one phase to another phase. We're trying to instill information in them that will help them as they're adults. But here's some common things that you must have as a parent, no matter what phase you're in. Grandparents, whether it's a kid next door that drives you crazy, here's some things that you need to have in common through all those phases. You need to love children. Folks, you need to love them no matter what. There's nothing more devastating than children making mistakes, just like you make mistakes when you were growing up as well. And having your parents look at you and basically said, I'm done with you. You will never make anything out of yourself. I'm done. Folks, listen, you need to unconditionally love your children no matter what choices they've made in life. It's one of the greatest things that you can give to your kids is your unconditional love. One of the things that you need to put throughout all that training, all those phases that we're going to go through, is you need to create an environment for your kids that they know it's safe to go home. Nothing worse than kids having to go from a tough environment to a home where they feel unsafe. Life's tough. Life's messy. You go to the schools and sometimes things get hard. And for them to be able to go home at one point and just say, at least I'm safe here. I know I'm safe here. Some people feel like if I give my kids too many rules or too many boundaries, I'm going to mess them up. I want you to know from working with as a youth pastor and working with kids at a camp, what I heard was just the opposite. I had kids tell me, my parents don't care about me and they don't love me. And I said, well, what do you mean they don't love you? Why would you say that? Because they let me do whatever I want. Over and over again, kids evaluate permissive parents as parents who don't care. I'm not saying in every case, please don't take that out as an always. But I know when I worked with kids, I heard it over and over again that kids interpreted that their parents being permissive was the fact that their parents really didn't care. Ultimately, in any phase of child rearing that you go through, I hope that you teach your kids to love God. Because when they love God, so much of life flows out of loving God. Because when you love God, right, you're going to want to please him. It says you keep his commands because his commandments are not a frustration. His commands are not a burden. Why? Because when you love somebody, you want to do whatever is necessary to please them. And if you can train your kids to love God, they're going to become good citizens. Why? Because they want to please ultimately God in what they're doing. When they love God, I believe what flows out of loving God is that they love other people and they start serving other people. Folks, listen, if you give your kids anything in life, try to instill in them what it looks like to love God with every part of their being. And so one of our goals is this at the church is we want to partner with parents. We want to partner with families. During the formative years, we want to make sure that we help you as you influence your kids. And we want to jump in and support you. It's not our responsibility to raise your kids, but we want you to know that we're on your team. We want to come in behind you and do whatever we can to help you. Now, you got to understand, we have a little bit disadvantage at the church because if you come like even once a week to church and you go to one service a week, typically we only get maybe like 50-ish hours with your kids a year. If you come to every program we offer, we may get closer to 100. But the reality is we usually spend about 20 to 30 hours with most kids in our church. When you send them to school, oftentimes in a school year, they will have 1,100 to 1,200 hours to work with your kids. And if you're a family that's usual, typically you will have about 3,000 hours with your kids. And so one of the things that we want to do is we want to help train you. So this is like a different sermon. So we're going to help you think through some of the phases. Again, people have them broken down different ways. We've kind of made it shorter so we can get through the sermon in less than like 35 minutes. So we've only come up with four phases that we're going to be utilizing. And hopefully you can think through that you can be more intentional through the formative years of your kids to help them reach their full potential in Christ and in life. One of the things I want to ask you is this. If you could set a goal, what would you want your kids to look like when they're adults? What would you want your children to look like when they're adults? And then let's step back to today. What choices are you making? What decisions are you making now that are influencing your children to look like that when they get older? One well-known pastor wrote this. He came up with a family mission statement. I love this. I wish I had done this when I was younger. But this is a mission statement for his family. And this is what he said. We want our kids to grow up to be kind, compassionate, responsible adults who love Christ, who shares God's heart for the world, and use their gifts to serve others. And then we want to be friends. So what he's saying is this, I want my kids to grow up, and it's kind of what we said. I want my kids to love God. And when they love God, they will be good citizens. They will be people who are different in a community to where they are kind and compassionate and responsible. But it goes beyond that. When they love God, what's going to happen is they're going to have a heart for this world, and they're going to do things to help serve this world, to try to make a difference, a positive difference in the lives of other people. And ultimately, when all of it's over, when all of it's done, I hope that we're just friends with our kids. When they become adults, I hope that we can be friends. And that was their mission statement. I want you to know that you have kids, and I believe they're here on purpose, with a purpose. I think your kids are here on purpose with a purpose. So one of the things I want to ask you this morning, we only have one point to the sermon, and it's this. Are you parenting by circumstance and chance or on purpose with a plan? I want you to think about that. Are you flying by the seat of your pants as parents, or are you being intentional in the formation of your kids? So if we looked into your home, would it be by circumstance and chance your kids are becoming what they are, or is it on purpose, and is it with a plan? And so I hope that you think through that. As a church, we have a plan for your kids. We think that every phase that kids go through are strategic opportunities to influence them for the future. I want you to understand that. So we believe each phase that we're working with your children are important, and we're trying to be intentional to say, how are we helping them today to influence them to what they look like later? So if we have them at 3 years old or 13 years old, how is that going to help them in their formation to be adults at 33, the kind of adults that we think God wants them to be? So we're going to go through the phases, and again, we've picked four of them. The first phase is this catering phase, 0 to 2. This is a phase where you basically do pretty much everything for your kids. And you wipe their nose, you change your diapers, you're feeding them. Your major mission in life right now is to keep them alive, right? And so that's your goal. And you're doing so much stuff for your kids. And sometimes, especially for parents who are for the first time parents, they get super nervous in this stage because they know their kid needs something or wants something. But sometimes you don't always know, right? They're crying. I remember times where your kids were crying in the middle of the night and you're just holding them and you're going like, I don't know what's wrong. Like, I don't know what to do. And so sometimes it can become a little nerve-wracking at different times. But you can tell moms who are going through this phase, and we celebrate the moms at this stage. They come in. They usually have bags under their eyes, right? And I'm really super impressed. If you've ever grabbed those car carriers, they just, like, sling them over their arm, right? And they have a like, diaper bag in one arm, the kid in the other arm, and they probably another kid they're hanging on to, and they just come walking to church like nothing. I say, hey, can I help you? I pick it up. It's like, oh, my word. But, like, sometimes it can be extremely an exhausting phase. It can be hard. And so what we want to do with you is we want to partner with you as a church. And when you come to church, we want to give you an environment that is safe, an environment that's clean. We have people who are working with your children who have been vetted, they've been screened, they've been background checked. Because what we want you to do is know that when you put your kids in the back, that there are people back there who we have done background checks on, and we have a clean environment, and we care about your kids. We want to help you. We want to encourage you that when you come to church, what we want to do is, like, give you an opportunity. You can call it a break. We're going to call it an opportunity. We want to give you an opportunity to be able to come into a worship service and be able to sit back and relax, sing songs, listen to God's word be taught, and just go on and just have a moment to just refresh, to be renewed. And that's what we want to do. We want to partner with you in this. Now, there are pros and cons to this life stage, right? And so we've already talked about how hard this can be. But can I encourage you, young moms, dads, enjoy it. It's an amazing phase. It's going to be gone like that. In a blink, it's gone. And you're going to wish you could get them back, right? You wish you could take your teenagers and put them back in this stage. But it's gone. There's nothing I enjoy more, and you'll see Pastor Jeff and I here, and oftentimes we will fight over kids. During the middle of the week, we have one of the kids that come in, a little girl, and we fight over holding her sometimes. And so sometimes if she cries, I give her back. But but there's nothing like having a child, for me, slung over your shoulder. I'm sitting back working on a sermon, just hanging out, sitting back with my feet up on the desk, and she's sleeping. I miss those times where those kids would just sleep on you. I know my kids would get mad because we'd have our grandchildren do the same thing. You're spoiling them. Not my problem, right? You've got to live with them. I just have them for today. You live with it. And I think about your little wild banshees when they're that age and they're crying. They drive you nuts. But there's nothing like when you see your child or your child sees you, whether you're going to pick them up out of a crib or whether somebody else is holding them and they see you. And then all of a sudden they get that huge smile on their face when they see you. Enjoy it, all right? It's like the country song, you're going to miss this. And there really is a phase that it goes so quickly and it's gone in a blink of an eye. And so please, if you're in that phase, can I encourage you? I know it's overwhelming, but man, just enjoy the phase. Just serve your child. love them. Second phase is this. It's the controlling phase, 2 to 10 years of age. I'm glad you see the humor in that. This is the phase where you feel like you're like micromanaging your kid's life. And you're trying to instill values and morals. You're creating boundaries. You're trying to protect them. You're trying to give them formulas to live by as they move to the next phase of their life. But there's a lot of rules. There's a lot of direction. Some people get all upset by this phase that there's a lot of rules and a lot of direction. But let's be honest. There has to be. When your kid comes out of their bedroom going to school and they have underwear on the outside of their pants, there's times you have to say, no, you can't go to school like that. When they want to have sweet tarts for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, you say, no, you can't do that. Brush your teeth before you go to dinner. Do your homework. There's times that you are giving them direction. You are controlling them. You're trying to instill certain practices in their life that will help them become healthy adults who love God someday, right? And educated adults. It's crazy to me, and please don't take offense at this because you may, and I'll get emails, but that's all right. I'm fine. It's crazy when I see children who are 5 and 8 years old and they're controlling their families. Let me just give you something, okay? I want you to think about this. You're the adult in the room, right? And God has given you a responsibility to train your children up in the way they should go. He's given you the responsibility to show them how they need to live differently than they are. Because left to myself, and when I was a kid, I would have done all kinds of crazy things. And your mom's just trying to get you energy and just get you going in a direction, right? Like the right direction. Don't beat the energy out of your kids. Thank God that they have that kind of energy. But your point is not to beat it out of them. Your point is to just direct them. Because someday those kids, those wild-eyed kids, I love those wild-eyed kids, because you know what? Someday they get focused on something, and when they get focused, it's amazing what God will do through them. So what we're trying to do is partnering with you through this stage of the controlling phase is when you're back here, whether it's USS Bridgewater, whether it's in our Voyager program, what we're trying to do in this stage is they break them down by age, and we're trying to back you up, right, with a biblical worldview. So if you're trying to teach your kids to pray and to study the Bible or memorize scripture, what we're trying to do is help you through that phase. And so we're kind of that other voice in their life trying to say, here's some of the basic values. So if the kids go in the back at this stage, they'll sing songs, they'll hear Bible stories, they'll learn Bible verses. And so when they get done with that, when they come out of there and you pick your kids up today, they should have a piece of paper that tells you what they learned today. And I know you're busy, but can I encourage you to spend some time with your kids talking through the stuff that they learned? This month they're talking about perseverance. And they're talking about you can find joy even when circumstances don't go your way. And so they're talking about Paul and Silas. They were in prison. And they're talking about Paul and Silas at that stage of their life. And it's interesting, when you start having conversations with your kids and you start having discussions, it's amazing what comes up. The other thing that we offer through our Voyager program, we have them at the Welcome Center, and they do have them in the back, we have God Times. And what God Times are little devotional books that you can work through with your kids. And can I encourage you to do that? Because we want you to be the spiritual heroes in your kids' life. We're just here supporting you. We want you to be the heroes. And so if we can help you do that, that's great. But I want you to know that in this phase, we're trying to back the family up. The next phase is this, is the coaching phase. This is where kids start making their own decisions. They tell you what activities they want to be a part of. Not you need to make your kid play Little League. Eventually, if they get to this stage, you're going, I'm not playing Little League anymore. I'm not doing it. You know, you try to make friends with you have people that you know, and we're going to have play dates. This is when they revolt and go, I am not going on that play date because I can't stand that kid. And so... So you see them starting to make some of the decisions on their own. They're starting to move into a different direction. And my mom had a thing that we had to play a musical instrument until we were in ninth grade. And when I was in seventh grade, I just looked at my mom and said, I'm not doing that. Like, I'm not doing it. I am not playing the trumpet. This is embarrassing. I was the big kid. They gave me a baritone, like, at one time. So I'm walking around. I was the only kid who could carry it. But I told my mom, I'm not doing that. Like, I'm not going to play an instrument. I don't want to do it. Because I was at the place where I want to start making decisions on my own. And so what we're trying to do is we're coming up kind of behind our kids, and we're trying to have a conversation with them, helping them make decisions. This is what it said for God with Israel in Isaiah. It said this, whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. What I can encourage you this, sometimes parents become, it's almost like that control phase where it's a time where you're catering to the kids. Sometimes you got to lead your kids to make decisions on their own. Because what I don't want my kids to do is get on their own as an adult with a family making decisions for the very first time. I'd rather have my kids make decisions, make mistakes when I'm there, and you can help them and coach them through that. You've got to allow your kids to gain a mind of their own to where they start making some of these decisions. But just like God was with Israel, you kind of want to be behind them, like whispering in their ears going, hey, so what's the wise thing to do? If you do what you think you want to do, what's going to happen? And so you're literally coaching them through this phase. They have a lot of people speaking into their lives. You have coaches and teachers and friends and media and music and all kinds of people speaking into their lives. And one of the ways that we want to partner with you is we hope that you've created a relationship with them through the catering and through the controlling phase to where they know you love them. They trust you, and you have a voice in their lives. And what we want to be is just that other voice in their life. So when they go through the Fusion program and the Craze program, middle school and senior high programs, what we want to do is we want to break them down into small groups. And they have discussions about relevant things that are at their age, things that are going on at school, things that are going on in society. And what we're trying to do is bring somebody in, like almost as a spiritual coach, as a spiritual mentor, to help them. At this phase, if you go to Voyager or Craze, they also have devotional books that they get. We keep them at the Welcome Center. What we found is that adults take them just like the kids do, and they use them. And so we're glad you're welcome to use them. At this phase, we're also encouraging kids to get involved in ministry, to serve. And you can serve at any stage, but at this phase, we're starting to move kids in and say, hey, you're an active part of the church. We need your help, and we try to get them to serve. So we've gone through the catering, controlling, coaching, and the final phase is the caring, and I'll finish up quickly. This is where they're college and beyond. And what you're doing is, theoretically, your day-to-day operations are over, right, in essence. They're kind of on their own. They're making a lot of decisions on their own. And this is the time where you listen to them. You spend time with them. You encourage them. You cheer them on. Sometimes they'll come to you and say, I'm not sure what to do with this. What's the suggestion? We're going to buy a house. Do you have any suggestions? What do we need to do? This is the time when you need to stand with them and you need to care about them. This is what Jesus did with his disciples when he spent 3 years with them and then kind of said, I'm leaving. That's what he said. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I've called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. So in the same way, what you're doing is you're just taking what you know and you're passing it on to your children, and you're hoping that they'll reach their full potential. And you want to do it with a purpose and with a plan. And so I want to go through this one last time, this purpose statement, this family mission statement. We want our kids to grow up to be kind, compassionate, responsible adults who love Christ, share God's heart for the world, and use their gifts to serve others. And then we want to be friends. So simple question is this. Do you have a mission? Are you being intentional with your kids? My prayer is that you will intentionally invest in your child or in a child that God has put before you to help them reach their full potential, both in life and in Christ. That's an amazing mission. And for those of you who are on that mission, I congratulate you and I cheer you on. God, I thank you so much. You're a big God. You're an awesome God. I thank you for the things that you are doing and continue to do in the lives of our families. I know none of us are perfect. We all have situations that we're working through. Sometimes we struggle. Sometimes we celebrate. But in all of it, we're just very grateful for what you're doing. And God, I pray that you will continue to guide us, that you'll give us strength and wisdom in those moments where life is just extremely tough and we're not sure what to do. I pray that we'll just lean on you, lean on your principles that we find, and that we can guide our kids in a way that is just you're pleased by it. And we ask this in your son's name. Amen.